This is the KOTO Community Radio News for Thursday, March 14th. I'm Julia Caulfield. In today's headlines, Public Works sets lofty goals for 2024. Telluride votes to solidify new festival codes. Sink your teeth into a slice of pie and a mountain weather forecast. But first, KOTO is the glue that keeps Telluride connected. We bring you the community calendar, lost and found, job line, ride board, housing line, and other important announcements regularly throughout the day. Show your support for this important service by going to koto.org to donate. And thank you. Prepare for road and bike lane and bridge and sewer line construction this year.
I would be surprised if there's ever been a year in Telluride where we had such an ambitious infrastructure and public works capital project season in front of us.
That's Telluride Town Manager Scott Robson speaking at a town council meeting this week. It's true. The Telluride Public Works Department has a laundry list of improvement plans for 2024, ranging from improvements to the wastewater treatment plant and Pandora and Mill Creek water plants to river trail bridge repairs and crack sealing on the bike path. Following a presentation at Town Council, Telluride Public Works Director Kyle Beck stopped by KOTO to share some of the highlights for the year to come.
The major ones for this year, and normally you just see one of these for the year for the staff, but obviously the wastewater treatment plant has got to be our main focus for everything, because not only keeping the existing plant operational, it's got to be the proposed new plant design as well. Because currently we are over capacity on our nutrient level. And so right now we're just trying to maintain that, so we're not even going beyond our capacity. We're trying to reduce that with our fats, oil, and grease program, eliminating all that coming down from mainly industrial users, restaurants, the school even. Any business with a industrial kitchen. And so that program is being established, as well as pre-treatment for our breweries. The other big projects is going to be the wastewater treatment plant upgrade at Mill Creek. And that is just one that keeps us all up at night, my staff, because we are just operating off of Pandora right now. That is the complete supply, water supply for the town. And as you know, as we are ending, you know, the winter season, we're at high risk for some avalanche. And so if anything goes wrong where we can't access that plant, then we're definitely at high risk for getting low on our water capacity. So I'd say those are the two biggest projects. But of course, those really don't interrupt town because they're kind of in their own little space. But the ones that will really impact our public is going to be the Southwest Area Plan, because that could completely shut down Pacific from Mahoney to Davis. And that's that one way. So that eliminates all that traffic and really much pushes it on to Colorado. But then at the same time, there's probably going to be some work going on in Colorado with that accessibility ramp project from Pine to Alder. So those in combination, there'll definitely be some detours, reroutes, but we will have a plan in place, so it's not just going to be a scramble and people will know about those expectations.
Yeah, you just touched on it with, you know, those two big water and wastewater projects, probably arguably being like the most important ones, but they don't impact day to day for most people living in town. And so we don't necessarily think about them in the same way. And you just touched on a couple of them. But when you think of the projects going forward this year that people will really experience in their day to day life, what are some of those projects going to be looking at, even on the smaller scale?
Yeah, and you're absolutely right. And, you know, for like the overlay program, it'll be split up into two different seasons. And that is where you're seeing that large equipment that's milling up the road. They're doing large patches. And so those could be complete closures on Colorado. And then there's some side streets that we'll be doing as well. So there's never a good time to do that. Last year, we did it towards the tail end of spring break. And people were still upset about, you know, the break in traffic. But it is very necessary. As people are out and about now, you can see all the potholes that have developed. And this will help eliminate a lot of those, specifically on Colorado. And so that'll be a big interruption to town. And then as simple as like the bike path repairs, that's, a lot of people's commute into Telluride. And Last year, we were able to have people just get off of their bike and kind of walk around, but there'll be those times when we're near the beaver ponds where you're not going to be able to just jump off your bike and swim. It'll be a hard closure, letting people know that, you know, they have to find other means of getting into town, which would be recommended versus taking the spur, because that kind of gets narrow. And I'm always, you know, cringing when I see people riding on that small space between vegetation and the travel lane.
I'm going to take off the wastewater treatment plant and the water treatment. Like, obviously, those are huge ones. I would say of the smaller projects, what's the one that you are most excited about? Like, oh, this is going to be really great for our community once we get it done.
Yeah, I would say the accessibility ramps. That is probably going to be one of the most challenging, but it's really going to give that new look to Main Street. It's going to allow the public to be able to step out beyond those parked cars and actually, you know, not only for the pedestrians to see the cars, but the cars to see the people crossing the street. Because I can't tell you how many times I'm pulling up to an intersection, someone pops out from a car on their phone, and, you know, you nearly miss hitting them. And so this will really give that safety feature to the town, but it'll really brighten up as well to see new asphalt, new accessibility, a better way to accommodate all sorts of travel. That's exciting for me.
Public Works will begin work on its long list of improvements in April and will continue throughout the year, depending on the project. The lineups are out, the tickets are on sale, and the hype is building for 2024's festival season. Festivals are also on the mind at Telluride Town Council. It's working to update festival codes and guidelines. KOTO's Gavin McGough reports from this week's meeting.
Council is considering three updates today. They're the products of conversations council members had earlier this winter.
So what we're now proposing is a minor event is less than 999 people per day. A medium event is between 999 and 3,000 per day. And then a major is above 3,000.
That's Director of Parks and Rec Stephanie Jacquet. Previously, Telluride had no official designation for what a medium festival was. It was just major and minor. The new middle category, events with between 1,000 and 3,000 attendees, includes the Kodo Street Dance and the Telluride Film Fest. Jacquet continues.
Number 2B is the recommendation from the majority of council and the unanimous recommendation from Parks and Rec Commission to change the cap on major festivals from 11,500 to 12,000 people per day.
So a new higher limit on festival capacity, 12,000 attendees, something the Bluegrass Fest has asked for and received in the past. The last major piece of the code updates is the requirement of a local ticket sale option for all medium and major festivals. How those ticket sales will work is up to the discretion of town staff when negotiating with each unique event. But the code, says Jacquet,
does provide a little specificity that it would be implemented for San Miguel County residents at a minimum, so it could be expanded beyond that per approval of a plan, and that it be implemented through advance ticket sales. So those were the two pieces that there was consensus on at the January 30th discussion.
Council is largely on board with the updates, but there's one provision that proves controversial, raising festival capacity from 11,500 attendees to 12,000 attendees. Council member Meehan Fee speaks up.
I would really love to start taking a much more holistic look at festivals and their impacts on the destination in regards to gondola usage, street congestion, sales tax revenue, et cetera. I think when we add an additional 500 tickets, we are adding additional 500 people. And if those 500 people were staying up in Mountain Village, we're adding an additional hour to already congested gondola lines.
Maybe, says Fee, they could postpone raising the cap and look at data from the next couple of summers to see what sorts of impacts town faces. Councilmember Geneva Chanet agrees. She takes the temperature of the room.
Is everybody else on council you would rather put in a 12,000 permanent cap in the code than do what Meehan suggested, which is a year of 12,000 a year of 11.5, get all this data and then decide whether or not to put it in?
The sort of data Fee and Seanette are asking for leads to some confusion. The Telluride Tourism Board already keeps close tabs on drive-in traffic, hotel bookings, daily rate, airport traffic, and so on. Town manager Scott Robson wonders if they're looking for sort of squishier metrics.
If it is ultimately kind of that vibe of, well, how's the community, how do locals feel post-event, that's a little bit of a different metric. It seems like maybe we're trending towards a concept of locals or community survey post-event.
Ellen 11 pushes back. She reminds her fellow council members they've already mitigated the impacts of the 500 extra tickets.
And that's, again, why I got on board with 12,000, because if Parks and Rec staff is okay with it, if Bluegrass wants it, and if the Marshals Department is okay with it, you know, if the tourists are already here, if we're adding the local ticket option, then I don't necessarily see the reason to push against it.
Council does not reach a unanimous decision, but they do vote, and the code updates, including the higher limit, all pass. The decision is 4 in favor with 2 opposed, the opposition being Fee and Seanette. This is a first reading and an initial vote. The code updates will get a second reading and a final vote at the next council meeting.
March 14th, Pie Day, a perfect time to eat pie and celebrate all things 3.14. Well, you may not know it, Telluride has its own connection to the infinite number. Local Paul Herding holds the U.S. record for the most memorized digits of pi. He claimed the title in March 2020 when he successfully recited 16,106 digits of pi, taking 6 hours and 52 minutes. KOTO News spoke with Herding after he reached the milestone. Today, we're rebroadcasting that story, originally aired in March 2020.
3.1415926535389793238462643383279502. I'm Paul Herding. I'm a teacher and a tutor, and I've always been kind of against memorization as a way of learning things. You know, I don't think regurgitating things necessarily means you truly understand. And so as a teacher, I was always adamant that my students don't memorize, but they go for the deeper concepts. And so I've always looked at people who can, you know, recite things as from memory as, you know, is this a worthwhile pursuit? I'm not necessarily sure. 8841971693993751. Last year, I was reading an article about a bakery near Yale, and they would give away free pies if you could recite 314 digits of pi. And I thought it was absolutely ridiculous that someone would memorize 314 digits of pi, you know, just to get a free pie. So the irony does not escape me that, you know, I was questioning why people would do this. And here I am a year later. Yeah, with 16,000. 058-209-749-4459. The previous United States record was 15,314, but the world record is far, far above that. It's 70,030. Yeah, so I'm only about a quarter of the way to that one. I don't know if I have the capacity for that one. 23078-1640628. 620899. 862-8034-8253-421-170679. It was a snow day last year, and I ended up at home with no power and nothing to do. So I was just like, oh, you know, we'll see. We'll go for 100 digits, and then we'll see how long that takes. And I think within, you know, the first 24 hours, I had about 400 digits down. 821-4808-6513-2823. 06647093844605. The more time I've spent memorizing, the more my process has evolved. For me, I have associations that nobody else will have, and that's the same for you and the same for everybody else. You know, we all have unique experiences, so tapping into our natural connections is an easier way than memorizing things that are foreign. So I think the overall theme of how my memory has evolved is like really making it into a story that I can relate to or that I can envision as opposed to just like cramming digits up there. You know, there are certain ones where I had 100 characters to start and like 50 was Luke Skywalker and 06 was Steve Jobs. So certain things where you think of like over there, there's Luke Skywalker holding an apple and it's like, oh, well, that's 5006. 5058223172. 5359408128. 48111745028410270109. 85211055964462294895491055569. 6446229489. 54930381969. I still believe strongly as a way of learning, the conceptual understanding is the way to go. You know, I think what I've learned is that the memory is a lot more powerful than people might give it credit for. I realize how bizarre it seems to sit there and watch someone just regurgitate numbers, but you know, give it a try. You could get 100 digits if you wanted. That would be, it's kind of like a fun challenge. 4448109754461284756482337867837863165
At the moment of each person's birth, the planets and stars were aligned just so. Astrologers say that placement provides vast insight into who we are. This weekend, local astrologist Natasha Hennessy will host a Making the Most of Your Personal Star Power workshop to study personal astrological charts as we head into the new astrological year, which falls on the vernal equinox and the first day of spring. The workshop will allow participants to read themselves into the star, see transits in action, and set themselves up for success in the astrological new year. The Making the Most of Personal Star Power workshop will take place on Saturday, March 16th from 2 to 4 p.m. at the Wilkinson Public Library. Registration is required and available at TellurideLibrary.org. Telluride knows the glory of Turkey Bingo, but why should Thanksgiving have all the fun? The Telluride Elks Lodge is hosting its annual St. Paddy's Day Bingo on Friday, March 15th. Don your green and shamrock and prepare for a night of merriment and mayhem. Corned beef, cabbage, and potatoes will be served all night. Bingo starts at 6:30 p.m. Tickets are available at the door. Republican Congresswoman Lauren Boebert says she's not interested in winning a special election to fill the remainder of Congressman Ken Buck's term. She says she'll continue her campaign for the general election in November. Buck announced this week he is stepping down from Congress on March 22nd. Boebert is running to fill his seat next year while she continues to represent Colorado's 3rd District. Boebert also blasted Governor Jared Polis for scheduling the special election on the same day as the primary election on June 25th. Democratic lawmakers want more enforcement of gun crimes across the state. KOTO's Lucas Brady Woods reports the Senate gave preliminary approval to a bill on Wednesday that would expand the jurisdiction of the Colorado Bureau of Investigation.
The agency is already responsible for tracking the state's firearm background checks, but it can't investigate or prosecute gun crimes without a request from local law enforcement. The bill would change that and allow CBI to investigate illegal attempts to buy guns across the state. Dave Hayes, with the Colorado Association of Chiefs of Police, testified in support of the bill.
Agencies across Colorado may not have the means to investigate these crimes, and therefore having the expertise and the resources this bill aims to provide is a benefit.
Sheriffs and Republican lawmakers say expanding CBI's jurisdiction would be unnecessary state overreach. 8 other gun bills are also in front of lawmakers this week. They include measures to prohibit guns in so-called sensitive spaces and require safe gun storage in vehicles. I'm Lucas Brady Woods at the State Capitol.
Two separate incidents of arson occurred within a 24-hour period at Fort Lewis College in Durango last week. For Rocky Mountain Community Radio, KSUT Tribal Radio's Sarah Flower reports that federal law enforcement officers have taken over investigative duties.
Text messages sent out in the early morning hours on Monday alerted the Fort Lewis College community to news of 2 arson attacks on campus. According to reports from the FLC Police Department, the first incident occurred early Sunday morning when FLC PD and Durango Fire responded to smoke coming from the press box at the Fort Lewis College football field. The fire was extinguished, and officials say no one was injured, but the damage to the press box was extensive. Just 18 hours later, FLC PD reports that late Sunday evening, someone walked by their offices and set one of the SUV patrol vehicles on fire, resulting in an explosion. An explosion so big that even Stephen Benn, a student at the college who lives on campus across where the incident took place, could feel it.
I'm just laying in bed, just kind of chilling, winding down for the night, watching YouTube. Then around 11:30, I hear the first like kind of pop, and it was like pretty loud because at first I thought it was a firework, but didn't hear like any like kind of whistle of it going up and then exploding. So it was kind of just something that caught me off guard. And then a few minutes later, heard a second like pop or explosion. And then my roommate ended up like saying like, "Did you hear that?" I was like, "Yeah, I heard that one." And he's like, "Did you hear the first one?" I was like, "Yeah, I heard the first one too." So we were just kind of like,
Officials so far are only reporting one explosion. The Federal Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives Denver Field Division will assume the investigative responsibilities for the incidents and work in partnership with FLCPD, Durango Police Department, Colorado Bureau of Investigation, and Durango Fire Protection District. In a message sent out to campus, president of Fort Lewis College, Tom Striticus, says these incidents are disheartening, to say the least.
Events like this are unnerving. I'm unnerved. I'm angry that someone would do this to our amazing campus. But I do take solace in the fact that multiple law enforcement organizations are on scene right now investigating. And even though this investigation might take time, I know they will do everything they can to keep us safe.
FLCPD is distributing a blurry image of a person wearing a hooded sweatshirt, carrying what appears to be a bucket, and it's circulating widely. Law enforcement is asking anyone with information regarding the person or people involved to contact campus police at 970-385-2900 or share anonymously at safetotell.org. Reporting for KSUT Tribal Radio, I'm Sarah Flower.
The National Weather Service forecast for the Western San Juans calls for snow showers tonight with a low in the mid-20s and snow accumulation of 2 to 4 inches. Friday, snow showers are likely with wind gusts as high as 25 miles per hour. New snow accumulation is from 1 to 4 inches. The high is near 40 degrees with a low around 25. Saturday, expect snow showers and then rain and snow showers. The high is in the mid-30s. Saturday night, there's a chance of rain and snow showers with a low around 20. There is a winter weather advisory in effect through Saturday morning. This has been the news for Thursday, March 14th. Thanks for listening. If you have a story idea or a news tip, call the news team at 970-728-3206. We would like to thank everyone who has donated to CODO during our Winter Fund Drive. A huge thank you to Andrew Bick, Sam Anderson, Kimberly Bunch, Lisa Cox, Jenny Koenig, Curry Parnell, Jennifer Ogilvy, Thomas Taylor, Daryl Strauss, Mark Walker, Thomas Treadwell, Joe Schmidbauer, Shannon Spellman, Rogan O'Herlihy, John Henry Malincon, Susan Mowers, Pam and Stu McCready, Dennis and Draco, James Berkowitz, Sharon and Chris Brody, Kat Devlin, Heather Evan, Courtney Groves, Mohanna, Reed Kilgore, Lauren and Cammie Nichols, Hazel Price, Gary and Kim Richard, Lisa Sims, Coors and Allison Wright, Thomas and Donna Stone, Heidi Sarazen, and Eli Simpson. Thank you all so much.